Mom, Dad, I just have to say, it breaks my heart watching you stress over dinner every night. This year, I don't want you doing the fridge stare down. Hot take, with the new Blue Apron, eating healthy is easy. They've got pre-made and one-pan meals with plenty of balanced nutrition. No subscription needed. You could be plating like a chef instead of negotiating with leftovers. Make it your healthy, tasty, and easy 2026 dinner resolution. Just saying.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We love those guys, and we ask you, what are you doing to protect your family's assets? As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condor and Morag can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com, and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
On the Rude Guest Hotline, we find our guy Jay Gruden, former head coach in D.C. Jay Gruden joins us every Monday after game.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Tedbert Automotive Group, Tedbert Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Tedbert Lincoln and Chantilly, and Tedbert Chevrolet in Sterling, all home to Tedbert for life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at Tedbert.com.
Jay, what's up? How you been?
Been good. How you guys doing? I'm down here in Daytona, Florida, coaching the Hula Bowl this week.
Oh, very
cool. Nice, man.
We'll ask you about that in a minute. I'm curious about that. That's pretty sweet. I want to start with a couple of notable items on the Commanders. There was a report over the weekend that Cliff Kingsbury and Adam Peters have been butting heads behind the scenes, and there could be some tough conversations coming, and that Kingsbury may not come back for year three, the final year of his deal, even if he doesn't get a head coaching job. What do you make of that?
Well, that's odd to me because typically the GM and the offensive coordinator don't have contact at all. That's the head coach's job to talk to the GM directly and relay the coach's message to him directly. And the coaches don't have really any, you know, interaction with the GM. So it's odd to me. But, you know, I guess if he's not getting the players he wanted, and maybe he's expressed his frustration in that way. But it's just a weird situation because, like I said, they don't really typically interact.
What would be more likely a reason for them to not be on the same page? Would it be that he's going to him and Quinn, maybe collectively, and asking for schematic changes? Like, hey, we're under center less than everybody else. We're in the no huddle more than everybody else by far. Or could it be, hey, I want my guys on the field. You're not using, I'm just making this up, but like, I need more looks for Sinnott. I need more Luke McCaffrey ops. Like, which one would you think is more what a GM and a coordinator would be at odds about?
Probably that. Mainly the use of Jaden Daniels probably early on, maybe not running them as much or getting them and putting them in harm's way as often as he has. That could be an issue personnel-wise. Typically, the GM doesn't come down and say, I want the quarterback under center. I want this. I want that from a schematic standpoint. Typically, it's from a player standpoint. Hey, you're not using this guy enough in the passing game. You're not using this tight end enough, maybe not using Ben Sinnott, maybe whatever it might be. It just seems weird that typically that Peters goes to Quinn and then Quinn would go to Kingsbury, if that makes sense.
Jay, what'd you make yesterday's game? Just a little bit of a slop fest for everybody, and Washington, I guess, was less losery in that game. What'd you think?
Yeah, there's a lot of games like that yesterday. It was a hard watch for, you know, about 14 of the games on Sunday and Saturday, so that's typical of the 17th game of the season when nobody's really 18th, whatever it is, where nobody's playing for anything. You're just trying to get some guys some looks. You're still trying to win and compete. But it's not going to be pretty because there's a lot of backups playing.
did you guys ever strategically sit anybody either for a full game or for parts of a game at the end of a year and play young kids to both get them experience, but also maybe to ensure that you had a better chance to not lose draft positioning?
Yeah, I think you try to get them in the game, maybe not start them, but try to get them in the game more and try to get their reps in there, try to get them, you know, half a game or three quarters of a game to see what they have, see what they can do. You know, guys maybe been on the practice squad all year. You elevate them for the last game or two and see what they have for next year, because there's going to be some important decisions when it comes to re-signing these guys and signing free agents at certain positions. I mean, do we need to go out and get another running back? Do we need to get another receiver? And you just got to look at everybody on your roster, and there's no better way to do that than play them in a game.
The one that's crazy to me is Hartman. And we talked about it a few weeks ago. It was kind of a big buzz topic around here back before Christmas. And then they went with Josh Johnson, and it just kind of went away. And I think it's mostly because people were, you know, out of the office, out of sight, out of mind, whatever. But it is crazy to me in week 18 that a 39-year-old journeyman who your brother had in Tampa, you know, almost 20 years ago or whatever, he was on the field for four quarters, and they couldn't get a single snap, having been eliminated from the playoffs for 6 weeks, for Sam Hartman in that game when the Eagles are playing twos and threes like it's the preseason. I just don't get that. It seems insane.
Yeah, I don't understand that one either. I love Josh to death. I had him twice, once at Cincinnati and obviously once here. And he's a great competitor and a good guy to have on your roster. But, you know, week 18, for God's sakes, your 17th game, I think you should look at your, you know, scout team quarterback who's been there all year. You know, he played in the preseason, did a few decent things, but what a great opportunity to go to Philadelphia and see how this guy stands up to a live pass rush. And maybe he plays better than he's looked in scout team. You know, who knows? But that is a head-scratcher. I agree with you on that one.
Jay Gruden with us here on G&D. So, Jay, a word that coaches love and then fans love to kind of throw around as well is accountability. And I understand, just a quick caveat, this isn't college football where if a guy's not going to class or not doing his job on the field, there's another five-star a year behind him kind of waiting in the wings, right? This is the NFL, rosters are limited, et cetera. But my frustration, the biggest one I have, is for a group that coming in this weekend was 4-12. Like, where was my benching? Where was somebody, you know, losing a little bit of playing time to someone waiting in the wings? I understand you're trying to build a culture, but what better way to demonstrate accountability than maybe saying, just kind of to your point here, we'll give somebody else a couple of these reps because you're not getting the job done. It sort of felt like they were very complacent in that regard. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, being a 4-12 football team, there's a lot of issues, and people aren't playing that well consistently, and that's why you're 4-12. So surely there are guys on your roster, some backups that deserve a few looks in these situations on the road against Philadelphia. Like I mentioned, it's a great opportunity to see how these guys perform under the lights. And if the guys and the starters who are playing aren't cutting it, then you have to look at somebody else. And I agree with you guys 100%. That's a, you know, that's something maybe Adam Peters is upset about, that maybe they didn't play the guys that they asked them to play. Maybe it's an offensive lineman, a tight end, you know, another receiver down the line or what have you. So, yeah, I mean, it's a missed opportunity for those guys to look at some of the younger players who have been there all year long, busting their ass and trying to get a rep, trying to get a game in, and they didn't do it.
Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny. On Cliff Kingsbury 2 years in, last year, obviously, he was the bell of the ball. They were top five offensively. Daniels had this historic MVP caliber season. They get to the NFC title game. This year, with all the injuries, and they had more man games missed in terms of day one starters on offense than anybody else in the NFL did, and they still finished just outside of the top 10 in offense with second and third string quarterbacks for the majority of the year. I actually think in a lot of ways that's a W, not an L for Kingsbury. What do you think about him overall and the job he did this year?
Yeah, I think he did good battling the circumstances, and that's what you have to do as an offensive coordinator sometimes. It's not going to be perfect. You're not going to have the perfect weather. You're not going to have your starters in every game, and you have to make sure you deal with what you have. And I think he did a pretty good job of that. I think Mariota had some really good games, did some really good things. Obviously, Josh got a win yesterday, and so he was able to overcome some of the mistakes or some of the injuries and some of the circumstances that he was dealt with. You know, they weren't, you know, awesome at it. I mean, they were competitive, at least. I think defensively is where they kind of missed the mark a little bit. But I think Cliff did a fine job. I mean, being top 15 or 12 with that offensive skill group that was playing without, you know, your number one pick and without Terry and Debo a couple times and Zach Ertz towards the end of the year, that's tough duty.
Jay, what do they need? When you start going shopping, looking at this roster to get back, not necessarily to the NFC title game and being 12-5, but getting back to, you know, more level, more just, you know, not a disaster for next year as they're trying to build something, what do they need?
They need a lot. I think they have to get their priorities straight, and they have to make sure they understand that these are our priority. We got to get a pass rusher somewhere. We got to fix our pass rush. We got to fix our defensive line. We got to fix our linebacking core. We got to fix our secondary. They got to make sure they really address the defense in a major, major way. Offensively, it'd be great to get Jaden another weapon somewhere, somehow. I think tight end has got to be a top priority for him, a guy who can do things in the running game and also in the passing game. Easier said than done. I understand that. And then I'd like to see a game-changing running back, man. It'd be awesome to get a guy that you can hand the ball to, have Jaden with his own reads, and then all of a sudden this guy busting it through for 30, 40 yards. It's a big playability, guy on offense, whether it's a receiver or running back, I think would be huge.
If they stick and pick at 7, would you go edge there if the right guy falls to them? Or, you know, if they were to stay there, would you look at a different position?
I think you got to go most dominant defensive player available, unless it's a superstar type running back or wide receiver that just fell to you in your lap that can change the game and put points on the board. I think you got to look for a guy who scores points for you on offense and a guy who takes them away on defense. But right now, if it was close between a defensive player and an offensive player, I'd have to go defense with what they're dealing with right now. The good thing is free agency is before the draft, typically, so you'll be able to address some of these positions in free agency, hopefully.
Who are some of the young guys that you like? I mean, to me, we're down on pretty much everybody. Understandable, as you said, it's now, I guess, a 5-12 season with a pretty empty win yesterday, but my big issue is there's not a ton of, hey, look at the upside on this guy as you start going down the list. It's Jaden Daniels, and we saw a couple good things from Samer still at times, but you know, where are the young guys that we're really excited about? I think that's kind of my big issue, but are there some young players you go, I'd like to see more of him because you're into it?
Yeah, not really. That's the issue, too. I think when Noah Brown got hurt and Terry McLaurin was out, the no receivers really stepped up. That's a big problem. So I'm really worried about the depth at the wide receiver position. You know, obviously, Bill had a good year running the football in certain circumstances. He did a pretty good job. Him and Rodriguez are a decent 1-2 punch. You know, I'd still like to see more from those guys. Disappointed in Ben Sinat, his inability to get in the lineup and play. That's a big issue. I think the right tackle, Connerly, did some decent things, but he's got a long way to go in his development. So offensively, yeah, they have a lot of work to do to get some more depth in that building. And then defensively, the cupboard's dry as far as young players. You mentioned Sanus Drill, but I think other than that, that's pretty much it.
Let's talk Cliff Scheme for a second, if you don't mind. Going no huddle as much as they do, there is no other team that does it. Why not? I mean, is it an asset to do it to the extent that they do, or do they overdo it?
You know, I think it is an asset at times. I think there's a good mix, a good balance to have a little bit of both. You know, I never liked going no huddle all the time, but I didn't like doing it none of the time either. I think that's a good balance to have. You know, it keeps defenses off balance. It eliminates a lot of the substitution things that they can do. And you force the tempo, which is good. But I think huddling up sometimes and changing personnel and doing some things under center, I think, is also a big plus. When you have a big offensive line, I think you can – push them around a little bit, get in the huddle and wear them down a little bit, and then hit the play actions off of it. So I think there's a plus to both of them. I would never want to be in no huddle all the time just because I'd run out of code words. You know, people start listening to the words, and they say they know what's coming. Hey, Wanda, that's weak side inside zone. That's coming right here. So I don't know how Cliff does. He does a great job of changing up his no huddle words and calls, but I would definitely do a little bit of both.
Like, what's a reasonable percentage of the time? Here's why I ask. They run no huddle 64% of the time this year. The number two team in the league is the Saints at 22%. So you're talking about almost three times as much as any other team. And if you go back historically, Cliff's teams were number one in Arizona from 29 to 23. And then in Washington, each of the last 2 years, they've been number one. Now, it was obviously not much of an issue last year, but it didn't work this year.
Yeah, I think there's a big difference between no huddle and 2 minute. The Saints are probably in a little bit more 2 minute because they're behind so many times throughout the year. So, but yeah, I mean, it's just a preference for the coordinator. Some coordinators like to go no huddle. Some people don't. I think it's very difficult to put in a lot of new plays when you're going no huddle. That's the issue I have with it. If you want to add a new play for a defense this week, and it's hard to come up with a new word, and everybody's got to learn it with on the fly and get the right formation from spots and move people around with motions and all that stuff. I think that's the negative of going no huddle. You can't do a lot of that stuff. You're lining up and calling a play and running it, as opposed to lining up and shifting and motioning guys and try to change passing strength and try to let the defense or see what the defense is doing pre-snap. I think you lose that with no huddle, but Some people like it. Cliff obviously does.
They tried a trick play yesterday. If you recall that flea flicker, which just, you know, self-sabotage there on a bad toss back from Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. But that's something that people were asking kind of throughout the year. Just want to get your thoughts on it. I always feel like it's art more than it is science as to when to call one. You got to have the right feel for it, et cetera. But it's like when you don't have much going on, is that the time to pull out the trick play, or is it when you're humming a little bit and maybe somebody starts to sit on something? Like, what's your thought process on when to call the trick play and the look you're going for, et cetera?
Yeah, I think when you're humming along, You don't really need a trick play. You feel good about calling the plays that you got. Sometimes if you're stagnant, you need a lift, you need a big spark, big play somehow. I think that's when you pull it out. You know, if you go three and out your first two series, hey, let's try to get something going, hit this trick play or something like that, you know. So there is a feel for it. You know, Ben Johnson's probably the best at it. He calls them probably more than anybody. There was a disaster trick play the other day in the game. The guy fumbled the thing at the 20-yard line going in for Carolina. That was a disaster. So sometimes the cons outweigh the pros on a trick play. You know, like, God dang, we're running the ball pretty good. Now we try trick play and we fumble the damn thing. So, there's an art to it. You just got to make sure you practice it. You're good at it. The guys are confident.
Jay, going back to another extreme Cliff percentage, this year shotgun usage for them was about 89%. And they, under center, they were only under center 11% of the time, which was dead last in the NFL. Although, you know, they did get under center more from the last month of the season than they were before. So maybe, and I've kind of speculated behind the scenes that's something they've been asking him to do more of. But going back to what we were talking about schematically, why is it that it seems like the best offenses, the Shanahan offenses, or a lot of what you did, right now, like Kubiak in Seattle, Ben Johnson, it's under center, play action, pop shots, using the middle of the field, not much the drop back game from gun.
Well, that's another coach's preference. I prefer to be under center quite a bit because I think you limit the defense and what they can do a lot of times, and there's more things you can do with the play actions and the boots and the keepers. There's a lot of really good plays you can do under center, and you're limited in shotgun to your play actions and your boots. They're just not as good. And some of the downhill running style with the back 7 yards off, open crossover, roll, pound, roll the, you know, get to the line of scrimmage, one cut and go. You lose some of that with the backs, you know. So I think every team should have, you know, at least 45 or 50% under center if they can, if the game dictates it. You know, if they're in the lead or tied or close under center, I think 45, 50% of the time is good. Now, there's some benefits of being a gun. You get the quarterback away from center. The protections are a little bit easier. The ball comes out a little bit quicker, maybe. I think that's the one thing that they're lacking is under center plays.
Jay, I want to go around the league with you a little bit here. That Seattle-San Francisco game feels like a month ago, just with how the sort of start of the new year calendar is going. But they missed a million opportunities on offense and still throttled that Kyle Shanahan offense with most of their pieces raring to go. That was really impressive defensively for Seattle.
Yeah, they're one of the top defenses in the league, and they showed it. And obviously not having Trent Williams really hurt them a lot. I know people say it's just a left tackle. No, this is a major piece of your puzzle when you're running a football to the left and the cutoffs on the weak side. There's so many things, the pass protection that you're lacking when he's out of the game. So that had a major impact. But Seattle is humming right now, and I think Seattle and Houston could be the favorites because both defenses are playing so good.
The team the Texans take on in round one is going to be the Steelers. They survived the Ravens on a missed field goal at the horn last night, 26-24, doesn't really tell the story of that game. There were some fireworks late, final 8 minutes or so. The score was 17-13 before some defensive breakdowns by both teams. What'd you make of that back and forth to end the season?
It's typical of an AFC North game, tough physical football, and then some big plays happen, and then all of a sudden it comes down to a field goal. Unfortunately, Justin Tucker wasn't their kicker. You know, it's just too bad because he's the guy that was a closer for so many years. And that position is very, very important this time of year and come playoff time because the games are going to be close. It's going to come down to a kick in the wind, in the cold, in the rain. And you got to have a kicker with ice water in his veins. And unfortunately, Baltimore fell short because they didn't have one.
Jay, I kind of discounted the Jaguars when they lost 3 or 4 in the middle of the season. You know, I kind of was, okay, this is who they really are after that amazing start with all the turnovers and the like. But you kind of look up and, what have they won? 9 in a row at this point or close to it? I mean, they all of a sudden look really, really good. I know they beat the Titans who have already packed it in, but some really impressive wins, including at Denver on the road down the stretch. How legit are the Jaguars?
just a good football team. And Liam Cohen has done a really good job with Trevor. Trevor's playing with great confidence. The one thing Trevor was lacking with Coach Peterson in his early career was his overall confidence. You know, he'd play good for spurts, but not for very long amounts of times. So now he's playing good for four quarters. And the Jaguars are dangerous because they can run the football. When you run the football, they get the bootlegs going. They get Trevor some very comfortable and easy throws, and he's hitting the easy ones. In years past, he'd missed the slam dunks. Now he's hitting them, and they're getting big plays, and they really stop the run very well on defense. Their corners are opportunistic. Their safeties make plays. So the Jaguars are dangerous, man. There's no doubt about it.
Jay, of the guys that have been fired today, so Raheem Morris by the Falcons, Kevin Stefanski of the Browns, Pete Carroll with the Raiders, and then Jonathan Gannon of the Cardinals, any of those surprise you at all?
Not really at all, because, you know, Gannon's been there a few years, had a couple opportunities, and had to try to fix Kyler Murray. That didn't work out, and they're terrible. And then Raheem kind of surprised me a little bit because they played pretty decent down the stretch, and they had some quarterback issues as well, the Penix going down and going back to Kirk. So that was a little bit of a surprise to me. Pete Carroll, that was just an absolute train wreck of a situation out there. They were horrible, non-competitive, so they had to do that. Nothing. Stefanski, the quarterback issues with Deshaun Watson, and obviously Shador. It's not a good situation over there. They had a ton of injuries as well. The defense played really well. I don't know if they're going to, you know, hire Jim Schwartz as their head coach or try to keep him, but their defense was outstanding throughout the year. So none of them are really surprising. It wouldn't surprise me if anybody gets fired, really. The owners nowadays are very impatient. They're all looking for the next Sean McVay or whoever it might be, and good luck.
Jay, I can run through the matchups if you don't have them in front of you, but what's your favorite wild card game as you're going to look at it this coming weekend?
I'm interested in Jaguars and Bills. I think that's going to be awesome. Josh Allen coming to Jacksonville is going to be hopping there, and Jack, I know the people there because I'm down here. They're fired up for this one, and to watch Josh Allen against Trevor is going to be a fun one to watch.
Jay, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you as always. We will chat soon.
You got it. Thanks, fellas.
There's Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny. He joined us every single Monday after games all season long.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Tebbert Automotive Group, Tebbert Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Tebbert Lincoln and Chantilly, and Tebbert Chevrolet in Sterling, all home to Tebbert for Life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at Tebbert.com.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
To Finley 106.7 The Fan, we are excited to jump on the Rude Guest Hotline. welcome in our friend, Mr. Sam Cosmi, for our weekly Paisanos Players Chat. Of course, Sam is the starting right guard for the Washington Commanders. Do we hear baby boy in the background?
Yes, he's sleeping right now, so he might make a couple noises here and there, but he's knocked out.
That's fine. You know me, I'll do my best to be quiet, but it's not exactly my strength.
You have no strength at all doing that.
There's obviously plenty for us to discuss, but I want to start with the important stuff. Baby boy and mom, everybody's happy, healthy, big sister.
Yeah, everybody's great right now. Baby sister's unfazed, which is awesome. Mama's doing really good. So it's a good household right now. So I'm really happy everybody's healthy and doing really good. So I appreciate you asking me that.
Love to hear that. And then I wanted to congratulate you. Yesterday you were named the Good Guy Award winner, the Washington player that's best at dealing with the media. I'm a voter in that. You had my vote. Even as you were coming back from the injury in the first half of the season, you were always really helpful with us. So thank you for your professionalism and congratulations.
Of course. I mean, you know, for me, it's awesome because it's like I've been runner-up, I think, 2 years in a row now. So it's nice to win this year. But, you know, I appreciate the fact that you guys do that. And, you know, at the end of the day, I know you guys have to do a job. And why not help you guys do that job? So I don't want to be a deterrent towards you guys. And at the end of the day, we're all people. And we're all trying to get to a common goal of, you know, just doing our jobs. And I appreciate you guys and respect you guys. And I appreciate you guys giving me that award. So it meant a lot to me.
I know you could deal with J.P. Finley a little bit less.
to that point, and B, you know.
Especially when he got that little raspy voice. Let me ask you a question.
Well, to that point, Sam, where your locker is in the locker room is right in the middle of where all the media hangs out. So you're kind of stuck with us. Are you still putting in a request to get to one of the corners of the room?
You know, I am. I'm not gonna lie. I appreciate you guys, like I said, but I also like my privacy as well. So it's just, you know, it's like right smack in the middle of you guys.
Right in the middle, yeah.
Right in the middle of everything. So, but you know, I'll let Josh. I'll keep Josh right there with you guys. So I know he he needs all the work he can get with the interviews and everything like that. So he'll be right there with you guys.
Yeah, Connerly for a rook was very good with us. Honestly, Connerly,
he was.
Connerly, Bill, Jalen Lane, like those were all polished dudes. I was impressed with all those guys. All right. Well, you said we have a job to do, so let's talk about. The news of the day, the news emerged within the last hour, I'd say, that offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury will not be back with the Commanders. I'm curious, just your reaction to the news.
I mean, I don't really know. I understand. At the same time, I'm kind of like, you know, it's, you know, this type of season that you have, normally somebody – you know, gets cut, gets the boot. So, you know, whatever the decisions they decided to make up front is up to them. So all I can do is just be like, okay, I gotcha. What's next?
Yep.
He's coming in. You know, what's the new playbook? So, but I mean, Cliff as a person is a phenomenal person. Really respect him as who he is. I one thing I did appreciate the most was when it came to being able to, you know, talk to the players, do that, being able to get our feedback. You know, he took that in, and you know, not a lot of OCs do that, and that's something I truly appreciated, that, you know, he would listen to us, you know, that speaks about his character and who he is. You know, it's unfortunate of the events that just took place, but, you know, for the most part, I mean, it is business at the end of the day. We have to perform, and it is what it is.
Yeah, I know Jay, when he asked me questions about how do players take it, I feel players look at it, they understand it, and then they say, okay, what do I have to do next? You know what I mean? To just make sure you stay around, basically.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, at the end of the day, we all have a job to do, and we're all trying to put each other in the best position to win football games. And however they feel fit to do that, and whatever decisions they make, because, you know, we're just, I always say this, it's like you build relationships throughout the course of seasons and stuff like that, but it's a chess game. We're all pawns, you know, on the board. And some guys have bigger roles than others, and some other guys have different roles. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it is a high performance game that, you know, we have to perform, and we weren't able to do that this year.
How difficult is it for an offense when, I mean, you joined this team in mid-October, I believe. You know, Jaden's in and out, Terry's in and out. Like, how difficult is it for an offense to hit that top gear when you have so much disruption to the personnel on the field?
Yeah, I mean, chemistry goes a long way. I really, truly believe that. You know, at the end of the day, I think when you get in those situations, you try to simplify things. I think that's the biggest thing. For me, the way I simplify things is like, hey, the two guys right next to me, how can I affect them? And how can we make each other better? And how can I make my blocks? Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, everything going around you, you can't control everything. You know, you always hear that saying, control what you can control. And that's what I could control, you know, is myself and the guys next to me trying to help them be the best versions they could be when I was on the field.
Does it change up the way you prepare or get ready for the off season? You're, like, you're going into off season, you know what you were going with. You got the same people coming back. You approach that one way. Now you know. New offense, possibly. Does it change up things a little bit?
I mean, yeah, we're going to have to learn the new terminology and how the system is and what they like to do. But, you know, this is going to be my fourth offense.
Wow.
In 5 years, going in six now. So, I mean, everything is – football is football. You know, they're just – some coordinators run certain plays differently than others. But you have inside zone, power, counter, pin, pull plays. You know, you can go down the line, pass protection, six-man, seven-man play action. They're all the same, you know, for the most part. It's just different terminology, different ways of IDing things and scheming up things and route concepts and how the style of play, you know. Those are all things that – you know, pretty similar. It's just different terminology and different ways of calling things. So, yeah.
We're talking with our friend Sam Cosmi here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Sam, kind enough to join us for our weekly Paisanos Players Chat, fed by our friends over at Paisanos. Today and every Tuesday are Community Tuesdays at Paisanos. Nurses, teachers, active duty military vets, first responders, everybody gets 25% off your order with the promo code COMMUNITY.
Nice.
It's Paisano's way of giving back to the individuals who give so much to others. Paisano's is not just pizza, but something for everybody. Order now at paisanospizza.com. Paisano's owes us two, because not only do we have Sam Cosmi, we also have Tate Cosmi. Is this his first radio interview, Sam?
Yes. Yeah. He's right there with me, so yeah, this is his first one for sure. He's knocked out, so he's not getting much out of it. But, yeah.
Hey, listen, I've interviewed a lot of people. He's given us as much as plenty of others. So yesterday, I don't know that a lot of fans understand what kind of the end of the season is, what locker cleanout day is. Can you take folks through, like, when you get to the facility, what the team meetings like, the exit interviews, and then, you know, finally just clearing out?
Yeah, so typically, I mean, we have our big team meeting, you know, DQ and goes up there and talks to us about the season and just, you know, how appreciative he is of us. And then we kind of go from our OC to our position coaches, exit meetings with our position coaches, you know, kind of just, hey man, what's your 2 cents about this year? You know, what are the things that we can improve on? What do you think we did great? You know, what can we carry into next season? What do we need to fix for next season? So that's kind of the basis of that right there. But I mean, from a personal level, you know, a lot of those guys that you go out there and go to battle with, the gravity of going in a football game and fighting with the guy next to you, you build relationships like no other, you know, like it's incredible what you're able to do together on that football field. And, you know, the crazy part is that guy might not be here next year. You know, those guys that you battle with, it's going to be different every year. So it's cool to build relationships, but you know, the crazy part about this league, it's a revolving door. People always come and go. So you try to build those relationships as best as you can. And, you know, some of those relationships are able to last a lifetime, which is really cool.
Totally. To that effect, I know that you are tight with a lot of, the O-line tends to be tight in all locations, right? I know Nick Allegretti and Andrew Wiley are friends of yours. Wiley now, I think, officially becomes a free agent. Nick, you know, there's some question what could happen there with that contract. What are those conversations like on locker cleanout day? And maybe it's not just other O-linemen. There's other players. Hell, Debo's locker's, what, two down from you? Debo is slated to become a free agent.
Yeah. You know, obviously you try to say bye to everybody. It's not going to be deep conversations as much as, you know, you kind of be the unknown. You know, that, like I said, there's things that you can control and there's things that you can't control. And the business aspect of things is something that you can't. So it's just you kind of fingers crossed, hope they're here next year, you know. But, like, you still keep in contact over the phone and do that. So you don't lose that, you know. So for the most part. So, like I said, you just kind of sit back, wait, you know, fingers crossed they hear or not, I don't know. So that's kind of how those conversations kind of go.
It's an interesting time for you guys. So what are you, how are you feeling, by the way? I mean, when you were last on the field, we know you sustained the concussion. Are you feeling good, back to normal, all those symptoms receded and all that?
Yeah, you know, I feel like I am pretty much back to myself. You know, the sleep deprivation right now with the child is the only thing that's kind of been like, oh, is that concussion? Is that not? Is that just because I haven't been sleeping? But for the most part, I feel pretty much back to myself. But yeah, that's how I'm feeling right now for sure.
All right, well,
Sam, our producer wanted to know, like, when he
let Jeffrey. Yeah. Well, Jeff has his own unique way of asking questions.
I wanted to know that, you know, when Cliff got let go, did y'all have like a text thread or something? Like, did y'all know immediately? Because I know the minute I'm missing work, everyone's in the text message.
Yeah. To be honest with you, JP told me that this was coming out. I didn't know that this was going down. Like I said, there's a business aspect of things. Like I said, there's a lot. The thing is, there's a lot of guys in my room in particular, or either free agents or have one more year, you know, that's not guaranteed to their contracts. I mean, it's crazy. There's a lot of, I feel like there's going to be a lot of moving parts this next off season. So, it's a very interesting off season, a lot of work that they got to do up in the front office. But yeah, I mean, when things kind of go down like that, you're just like, whoa. So I don't think, I'm sure there's guys right now that don't know that's happened yet.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I asked somebody a question and they never responded back. So they probably didn't know.
I guarantee you they didn't know, you know.
Yeah.
Would you, in hindsight now, over the last month or so, just between team meetings and walking around the building, would you have guessed that, like, I'm not to put you in a position, but the Joe Witt news, Joe Witt has also departed, right? But when DQ kind of takes back the defensive reins halfway through the season, that's not much of a surprise. With Cliff, was there anything over the last month or anything that might have tipped you off, or when you look back on it, like, oh, you know, I kind of saw that?
JP,
you hear me? I'm sorry. Uh-oh.
Don't know what happened.
I'm going to throw Sam on hold, see if you got him there, Jeff. But yeah. I definitely think there are players that are, like, really locked in.
Some players don't pay attention to the other stuff.
I think especially when you got a 10-day-old baby in the house or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's an interesting time. If we don't get Sam back, really appreciate his time. Because that's not the easiest.
But like, if you listen to Sam, Sam was very much like I was when I was playing. Like, I didn't care about much, but my teammates, do my job, go home. And the guys that I was cool with, I didn't have to say bye to them. I'm going to be dealing with them the whole offseason anyway. You know what I mean? And I was like that all the time. So on the locker cleanout day, I walk in. And I normally like, what up? Because I'm going to be right back in a month. I ain't clean all that trash out.
Right.
You know, and I kept mine relatively clean. But you, when you're cool with somebody, whether they go to another team or not, you all going to stay in contact.
Well, and I also think it's interesting. I love talking to O-linemen because I think they have, in a really complicated game, perhaps the best understanding of what their job is, how to do their job, and how to move forward. And I think for a dude like Cosme, that's the focus. I wonder if other guys are more aware, and maybe younger players are paying more attention to what's happening in the media, those sorts of things.
Young players need to pay attention to what they need to do. Then they'll be a lot better, a lot quicker.
You're right. It's just, some of it is just all good. I think Sam might be trying to call us back, but I think something weird is happening with the phones. Shocker. seriously, though, appreciate him making time for us on what is an awkward kind of conversation to have. If you're just tuning in, just getting in your car, Cliff Kingsbury is out from the Washington organization.
Mutually agreed to part ways.
I do think between Dan and Cliff, I know they had a meeting. I believe that was a...
He's trying to call back. Lanfield, do you want to just try to call him?
I think, you know, I think in a lot of ways, those two probably have a lot of respect for each other and want to see everything work out for the best.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Which doesn't mean that conversation is any better or worse.
Nah.
I think it still just kind of sucks.
They said they agreed to part ways. What if Cliff has already an idea where he's about to go? Hey, man, go on. Let's just do this right now because I'm going to be leaving to go to this spot.
I think Cliff has a real shot at Tennessee and maybe New York. I think Sam has called us back. Sam,
I saw something about Vegas.
Sam, can you hear us, bro?
I'm back.
Okay.
What's up, Sam?
Well, thank you for calling back.
No problem.
The last question I was asking is, I don't know if you heard me, but, you know, When the change was made, you know, roughly midway through the season with Joe Witt, I don't think there's much of a surprise that Joe Witt's not going to be part of the organization going forward. With Cliff, it's more of a surprise. In hindsight, looking back over the last month or anything, was there anything you now look back on and you're like, oh, that's kind of interesting?
To be honest with you, not really. I went in the exit meetings kind of like talking about like how can we – you know, some of the things that we can improve on the offense, you know, thinking like, hey, we're going to move ahead for next season. So for me, there was no indicators that they were going to make this move. So I didn't know it was going to happen.
Yeah. What for you are the best ways for this offense to get better next year?
So for me, I think what's crucial is for us to really establish an identity, especially in the run game. I think we showed a lot of potential this last season, and I think there's a lot of things that I think for me, if we're able to key some of the key pieces in the O line, that we're going to be probably one of the best O lines in the NFL. And I felt like we were this last season. If they can rely on us in the run game, especially, I think there's some things that we can do that's really special in that category. Like I said, once you establish a run, it opens up so much more play action,
yep.
You know, and when you have to go drop back pass, you do, But I really want to establish the identity of the run. Like, who are we? You know, that was the biggest thing that, like, I felt that we could have definitely improved on going into next season. You know, and you know, whatever. I just want to me personally slow down a little bit with the offense, just to dissect the little things better when it came to on the field. You know, but I mean, it's going to be different now. So, yeah. But still in the run game, I still want to have that identity. That's the biggest thing for me.
Absolutely. Two last things for me. A guy like Josh Connerly, a rookie who's able to play every snap of the season, which is really, really impressive.
Rare.
What kind of jump do you see him making next year?
I think a huge jump. I mean, the first year of being a rookie, man, I remember my rookie year, and it just like you're just trying to figure out everything, you know? And I think as the year went on, he just kept on improving and improving and improving, you know? Like, the caliber of players, like, you know, it's either fight or flight, you know? Like, and he was going against some, you know, guys off the edge that were just dogs, you know?
Yes.
And he's been battle tested now, you know? So I think the beautiful part about that, there's such a big jump from year one to year two. And I'm excited to see him put the work this off season and really improve just and key in on the things that he needs to work on. I think he knows that, you know, and I think he's going to go train with Laramie, which I think is going to be a great thing. And I told him, hey man, when you're in town, you're working with me, you yeah, know? Yeah. So I'm excited to see what, you know, he has in store for this offseason.
AP made clear he's going to try to get a new deal done with Laramie. I can guess what those numbers will look like. Do you think Laramie needs to pick up the first lineman's dinner next season?
Yeah, it's going to be insane. I mean, props to me. He's literally, he's a freak, and he deserves it. And he's a great person. And it's going to be just like, you know, I know we've been talking a lot about Cliff, but Cliff said in an interview he's gonna make a lot of money.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, last, yeah. You got to make some picks. College football Final Four, Oregon, Indiana. That is Friday night. Who do you like?
I'm going with Indiana, man. That's the story of the whole season. I like the way they run the program and their head coach. I know Josh is not going to like that and Marcus, but I have no ties to Indiana at all. So, not at all. So for me, it's like, would I ever think a school like Indiana would be in the position they are in right now? No. So I love it. I'm going for them.
All right. And then Ole Miss, Miami. Who you got?
There you go.
Ooh. I'll go Ole Miss just because of I don't like what happened with their head coach. I think you battle with guys for a whole year. You do what you do. You don't just leave them, you know.
Yeah.
That's how I view that. I think that's just kind of messed up. So for them to still be in the position they're in and them still battling and not wavering from that, I think it's huge. I'm going to go with Ole Miss.
And then it sounds like in the final you're taking the Hoosiers.
You know, I'm going to let fate decide that one. I don't know who to go for there. Because there's kind of two teams that you would not expect to be in the position they're in right now. So, I'm going for both. So whatever happens, I'm biased.
Hey, man, you calling back. That's why you're the good guy. Appreciate the time,
Appreciate you, Sam, man.
Of course. Appreciate you guys.
All right, brother.
That's our guy, Sam Cosmi. You can give him a follow at Sam Cosmi on Twitter and Instagram. One of the good ones right there. Appreciate him making time. That's cool, too, that Connerly's going to go stay with Tunsil, train with him, and then when he is in town, train with Cosmi.
Yeah, the young guy needs to figure out a way to get it right.
Yep. Cosmi joining us for his weekly Paisanos player chat, fed by our friends at Paisanos. Today and every Tuesday are Community Tuesdays. Nurses, teachers, active duty military vets, and first responders get 25% off your order with the promo code COMMUNITY. Check them out now at paisanospizza.com. It's not just pizza, but something for everyone.
All right, it's a busy week in the NFL. Busy week here. Mike McDaniel.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Mom, I'd like to propose a dinner optimization plan for 2026. Soccer practice every week. Get back late and you're stressed out about making something fast but actually nutritious for dinner. When Ashley's mom picked me up, I noticed that she made Blue Apron. It came in like a little kit. By the time it was ready, I still had shin guards on. And it was real food, fresh veggies, protein, actual flavor. Take her from the younger generation. We're innovators. Keeping a couple Blue Apron meals around. Not the worst idea.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If you missed the news, fired in Miami. Certainly, he would be an interesting hire to replace Cliff Kingsbury here in Washington. Joining me right now is Ross Tucker. Ross called the game Sunday with Kevin Harlan in Philadelphia, the season finale. He's done a great job calling games. The Ross Tucker podcast is outstanding. You can follow Ross on X and on Twitter, at Ross Tucker NFL. Did you know, you know, I was thinking about you as you were calling the game, and I was wondering, you know, what you knew about the Kingsbury situation. You and I have talked about this before, but I think it's interesting how guys who are calling games that get that opportunity to sit down with coaches and quarterbacks, and sometimes you guys get more information, even if it's on background, to kind of use in the broadcast. But did you have a sense that the Kingsbury thing was coming?
Not from my conversation with Cliff. I didn't really go down that road. I did ask him if he would consider like a college job again. And we kind of talked about, the craziness that is college football right now. But when I spoke with him on Friday, I think that that was before some reports started to trickle out Saturday and Sunday morning that maybe it was more than just him potentially, you know, going for a head coaching job somewhere else, and that maybe he would be moving on regardless. I think it was maybe Diana Rossini. I think Ben Standig wrote something about it. So
yep, both
there,
of them.
There had been stuff that I had seen, which is why I referenced it during the game. But, you know, it wasn't hard and fast, and, you know, it wasn't like something I wanted to expound upon, but just I felt like there had been multiple reputable reports that it was at least something worth mentioning.
We'll come back to Cliff in the, you know, openings here. You know, this has been, you know, this has been a disappointing season, a miserable season, really, here in D.C. after what we had last year, you know, following the, you know, near quarter century of Snyder misery. And so, just a tough year here to watch this team. And I'm wondering, you know, going into this season finale, did you get a sense as to, you know, why they thought they had the season they had?
Yeah, I think the things that jumped out, obviously the injuries was the biggest one. You know, just doing the research for it, Jaden Daniels and McLaurin played three games together. I mean, Daniels played in seven and came out of four of them. You know, I had done the Bears game earlier in the year on the radio that Jaden played in, and it was like once people discovered without McLaurin that they didn't really have an outside receiver that could consistently beat man coverage, that put them in a really tough spot, really tough spot. Terry's that valuable. I think you saw that again Sunday. I mean, he had to have, Kevin, look this up or get Max or somebody look it up. He had to have set the record for number of pass interference or holding penalties.
I think it was four.
Drawn in the game.
I think it was four. I don't know if it's a record or not, but I thought the same thing. I think he drew four defensive penalties that resulted in automatic first downs. That's a lot.
I'm very annoyed now. I was feeling pretty good about how my broadcast went, and now I'm very annoyed that I didn't say that during the game, that he had to have broken the Torrey Smith Memorial record for drawing interference penalties. And I felt like Flacco would do that to Torrey Smith twice a game in Baltimore back in the day. But no, I mean, you could just see those guys could not cover Terry. You know, I mean, his double moves, I mean, he had those guys in an absolute blender. And so for Jaden Daniels to only have that for three games, that's a very, very important combination for them. So the injuries are obviously a massive part of it. Defensively, they lack a decent amount. But, you know, Dorrance Armstrong was playing well before he got hurt. So I think it's a combo, quite frankly, of the year before. You know, they won all those last second games, like the Hail Mary. They were so good on fourth down. They probably were more like a 9 or 10 win team last year that got a lot of breaks and things that went their way late in games. And then this year, they were probably more like a 6 or 7 win team that had a bunch of things go against them. You know, they're probably not as far off from the year before as like the seven win delta would indicate.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. By the way, you had in the game something that I wrote down immediately when you said it, because that information isn't readily available. You almost have to do sort of your own back of the envelope math to figure it out. But you had that week one starter, 83 man games missed, you know, the league leader in that. That's, you know, people don't like when people discuss injuries as an excuse. I don't really view them as an excuse. I view them as a reason. Teams that get, you know, decimated the way Washington was, they don't win more games than they lose. And those that do are the exception to the rule. And they didn't have their quarterback and their best receiver, not to mention their running back number one, their wide receiver two, their DNs 1, 2, and 3. I mean, it was carnage all season long. But I was going to ask you, and you started to get to that, but I want a little bit more, and that is, do you view Washington as a team that if they don't have what they had this year and they're relatively healthy in 2026, where, you know, what kind of team is it? Jaden Daniels playing 17 games, Terry McLaurin playing 17 games. How far away are they?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I think that's really hard to answer without knowing who their coordinators are and what moves they make. You know, the good news is, as I'm sure you guys talk about a lot, is that they have the most cap space in the NFL. The bad news is they got a ton of free agents, you know, like,
yeah, they do.
I mean, they have to, you know, they have to use that money on a lot of their own guys if they want to keep them. It's not like they have 21 starters coming back and they have the most cap space. You know, I mean, they have a lot of guys that are up. Now, what that does do is it gives Adam Peters a lot of flexibility. And I'm curious if he continues to go the veteran route and feels like, hey, you know, we might, Dan Quinn and I might both be on the hot seat this year. I'm going to keep going and hope that I have better luck on the one-year veterans in 2026 than I did in 2025. Maybe it looks more like 2024. Or do they start to go younger? You know, I think, and I think he's right about this, I think Peters realized, Kev, that older veterans on one-year contracts are actually undervalued because they're older. And most people don't want to bring older guys onto the team. So, in other words, if a guy was going to give you the production, I'm just throwing this out there. Let's just say it's Bobby Wagner, okay? If Bobby Wagner was going to give you that many tackles and play the way he did, and he was 27, I don't know, what does he cost in a one-year deal? $10 million, $15 million? I'm just making it up.
It was $9 million this year, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But if Bobby Wagner was 26, that would be $15 million a year. You know, so I think that what they decided is at a lot of positions, Dietrich Wise, Jonathan Jones, yeah, we can pay top dollar for a younger guy in their prime, but we can probably get somebody that for this year, which is the only year that matters right now, that can give us comparable play for a lot less than that. And create some value for ourselves. The problem with the older guys, which is why a lot of teams stay away, is they get hurt more often. You know, that's the deal. They get hurt more often, and so that kind of happened. Like last year, they rolled the dice and it turned out great. You know, with a lot of those older veterans, this year they kind of got snake eyes. I don't know, is that good or bad? I think snake eyes is bad. I don't really roll
snake eyes is not good. Yeah, I mean the irony of that is Bobby Wagner didn't miss a snap. Von Miller didn't miss a snap that he was asked to play in. The oldest guy that got injured the most, and he was productive certainly all of last year and this year before what was a devastating injury, was Zach Ertz. I mean, a lot of the injuries were to their mid-tier aged guys and their younger guys. See Jaden Daniels as an example for that. But I thought it was interesting the way you put it that, you know, older productive players like Bobby Wagner are actually really, you know, true values for teams. But they do have all this cap space. There is a lot of question marks, plenty of them going into next year. And it really starts with the fact that 2 years into the Dan Quinn era, Ross, they are looking for a new defensive coordinator and a new offensive coordinator. Let's start with the OC. What do you think happens here?
Well, let me ask you this first, actually. Was there a drumbeat for people to move on from Kingsbury? Did people want this to happen? Are people glad that this happened? I mean, you're there. I'm not.
Well, let me ask you a question before I answer that. Do you think he did a good job here?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so do I. So do I. And
I thought Jaden Daniels had the best rookie season for a quarterback in NFL history.
Agreed.
And actually, I thought Mariota and Josh Johnson, quite frankly, played well enough to win a bunch of those games. So not only did he have the best rookie year in NFL history with Daniels as a rookie, but then in year two, you know, they were 3-2. Where'd they go out to the Chargers or Rams and rolled them? And, you know, they had some good things going. And then the injury, by the way, they played a much tougher schedule. Like, they played much tougher teams earlier in the year, much tougher defenses. And then Mariota played fine in a bunch of those games. And Josh Johnson even played, I thought, winning football in his two starts. A guy that it was his 10 to 11 starts everywhere, and he's a journeyman. So someone would have to explain to me why they moved on from Kingsbury, because that one I don't really understand. Now, reading about it, it sounds like Dan Quinn wants someone that's going to maybe huddle a little bit more and maybe Dan Quinn felt like the no huddle or the up tempo and the style perhaps put strain on his defense. I don't really buy that. And I would not have gotten rid of Cliff Kingsbury if I were the Commanders. I would have been happy to keep him for year three with Jaden Daniels, hopefully a healthy year.
So I agree with everything you said. With respect to the question you asked me, I think it's split. Look, this is a fan base that finally kind of, you know, we were asleep for a quarter century with the misery that Snyder brought to this once proud franchise. You know what the history of this franchise was. I mean, you played, you know, at a time where it was still within sight of memory in the 90s. You know, you were here in the early 2000s. I think that there's just a lot of people that were so pissed off with the entire season that they wanted everybody fired. I mean, it's Quinn, Kingsbury, Witt Jr., just a total house cleaning. So you always get that, and you're familiar with that in Philadelphia, being where you live. But I agree with you. I mean, I think we saw an elite-level offense last year. The quarterback had a lot to do with it. But you know what? The quarterback typically has a lot to do with elite-level top-five offensive football teams. And to your point, you can say two things simultaneously. The offense wasn't anywhere near what it was last year. But given what he had to work with, I thought he got a lot more out of a lot less this year offensively. And ironically, I pointed to the two Josh Johnson performances. A 39-year-old third-string quarterback was highly productive in the final two games of the season, one of which you called. So, with all of that now digested, where do you think they go? Or should go?
Well, I think that one spot just opened up today, or one guy just opened up today. It's probably Mike McDaniel. You know, I can see them wanting to bring Mike McDaniel back home to where he, you know, was there for a few years during the Shanahan era. There's probably a bunch of people that are going to want Mike McDaniel, and I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility, quite frankly, that Mike McDaniel gets a head coaching job. That wouldn't shock me. I don't think he will. But it wouldn't shock me if he did. So that's something to keep an eye on. But McDaniel would be one I would strongly consider. I'm trying to think. I don't even know. You have to tell me. The OC thing is always interesting because usually it's like everybody wants the, pass game coordinator for the Rams, whatever that guy's name is, Shellhouse or whatever. You know, people don't really know is the truth. You know, like they don't know because I mean, unless it's somebody that's already an OC somewhere
exactly.
else,
exactly.
You're basically saying, just give me whoever the next best guy is next to McVay out there. You know what I mean? Like, just give me whoever Kyle Shanahan talks to the most. Like that's really what they're doing because nobody really knows. And by the way, those guys might end up being terrible. You know, like the guy in Houston. You know, Houston first had Slowick, who came from San Francisco. Then now they have Kaley, who came from the Rams. Everybody's just trying to get – and I would do the same thing. Everybody's just trying to get somebody from the Shanahan-McVay tree, which makes sense. I mean, those guys, their backup quarterbacks play well, you know?
I said the same thing that you just said the other day, and it's so true, and that is – as fans of the sport, even people who are in media and a little bit maybe closer to it, it's one thing for us to have strong opinions about head coaches and even coordinators who have been, you know, who are currently coordinators, and there's a true record attached to them, a true resume. But when people start getting into position coaches, or I say this about GM candidates, when somebody's an assistant GM somewhere, and you start being declarative in opinion, it's performative. I'm sorry, we don't know. We have no idea on these people. People inside the sport know, and you can take some of that information. Like, I will tell you right now, Ross Tucker, they love this guy, David Blau, inside their building. You know, the guy that you know, ended up being their quarterback's coach, close with Jaden. He came from Detroit. His star has sort of been ascending. But he hasn't been in that position. People inside the sport know. We don't know as much. But we do know Mike McDaniel. You know, we do know that, you know, like you said, Liam Cohen's staff or Sean's staff or Kyle's staff, that probably if you pluck somebody from there, there's a decent chance. But you're not guaranteed of it. But, yeah, McDaniel would be a really interesting hire. He not only was here in Washington with Mike, he was in Atlanta with Kyle when Quinn was the head coach when they went to the Super Bowl. And Mike McDaniel has credited Dan Quinn for, you know, for the most part, saving his life when he was at a very difficult point in his life with addiction and a drinking problem. He talked a lot about that in the buildup to the Miami-Washington game in Madrid. So, I mean, do you think McDaniel, Jaden Daniels, this offense would be a good fit?
I do, and I think because I think Daniels can do the timing and rhythm passing game that Tua could do.
Yeah.
But I think Daniels can also do the second part, the second reaction part of it, that Tua could not do. And if you're Mike McDaniel and you're looking to coordinate somewhere, is there going to be a better option than the Commanders with Jaden Daniels? Is there going to be a better quarterback situation? Probably not.
Baltimore?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, probably Baltimore.
I mean, those would be the two, right?
Yeah, those would certainly be the two. I would say, I guess I feel like Baltimore would come with standards isn't the right word, but there would certainly be more pressure, it feels like, in Baltimore because the guy's already been a two-time MVP and all of that stuff, then, and they fired the head coach, whereas I think in Washington, they're not necessarily expecting to win the Super Bowl next year. Just get us back to, you know, being in the mix for the playoffs and back to being competitive again, like, you know, like they hadn't been for a long time.
Yeah, agreed. All right, real quickly before I let you go, and I do want to talk about Front Page because I love your business. Ross is quite the entrepreneur in so many different ways. On the playoffs that will start on Saturday, let's start in the NFC because this, you would agree, this is one of the wildest seasons we've had in a long time, and it's wide open. Do you agree with that part of it, that the postseason's wide open or not?
No question. Yeah, I think you can make an argument for 12, maybe even 13 teams to win the Super Bowl.
Wow, that's a lot. So you would just exclude the Panthers and who would be the other team? If it's 12, the Panthers and who else would you exclude?
Maybe the Steelers.
All right, so let's start in the NFC. Who do you like and why to emerge in 3 weeks?
There's three teams I think have a really good chance, right? I would be surprised if it's not the Seahawks, Rams, or Eagles. You know, those feel to me like the teams with the best opportunity. And they also have, you know, the best path, I think. The Seahawks at home, obviously, and have the number one seed. The Rams get to play at Carolina. And the Eagles got to rest their guys, and then they're playing at home against a very beat-up Niners bunch. Very beat-up. So they all have a terrific opportunity to get to the next round, to get to the divisional round. And I think the Seahawks have the easiest path. I think that the Rams probably have the best team overall. And I think the Eagles still have that pedigree, and they have sort of a almost like a trump card that they haven't used in their back pocket, which is Hurts' legs. He has not run very much this year. It feels like they've kind of been saving that. And so I think, you know, they will break that out now because they have to. It's go time.
If they don't move the football against that 49er defense, then that's a red flag even if they survive the game.
Totally agree. Yep. There's no question. That's 1,000% accurate. But you know, they might be winning these games 19-16. I mean, their defense is really good, really good.
And it is.
So they do have a chance to win these games, you know, with those type of scores.
AFC, who emerges and ends up being in the Super Bowl? Give me the two or three teams if it's two or three in the AFC.
It's two, and it's the winner of the Bills-Jags game on Sunday.
Wow.
I think the winner of the Bills-Jags game is going to the Super Bowl. I think the Jags have the best team. People don't realize it because nobody pays attention to the Jags.
Right.
And then I think that the Bills have the best player, at least in the playoffs, in Josh Allen, capable of putting Superman's cape on and, you know, carrying the team almost single-handedly at times. And so I think it's a shame, Kev, that they have to play against each other. I think it really stinks that they have to play against each other, because I think that they're the two best teams in the AFC. I think that they would be in the AFC Championship game if, you know, they didn't have to play against each other in the first round. So I'm taking the winner of that game to go all the way to the Super Bowl.
Do you like the Texans as much as I do?
I like the Texans defense quite a bit. I would say I still have some healthy skepticism of them offensively. They're going to have to win playoff games more than likely, you know, 20-17, 19-16, stuff like that.
Ironically, I mean, I've loved them all season long, and bet them a couple of months ago to win the AFC title, but I actually think the Steelers have a chance Monday night with Rodgers playing the way he's playing. All right, let's get to Ross Tucker. Is, and I'm being serious, he's quite the entrepreneur. This is, you know, an Ivy League guy that played in the NFL that's very entrepreneurial, and one of your businesses is perfect, you know, for this time of year with, you know, certainly Valentine's Day right around the corner. Tell everybody about My Front Page Story.
Yeah, so what you might not know about me, Kev, is I'm a big softie, right? And I think it's super important in life that you tell people how you feel about them. And in fact, look, we just had New Year's. I know for a fact a lot of people listening that one of their New Year's resolutions is to be a better husband or boyfriend or partner or whatever. And I think a lot of them also don't want to procrastinate. Well, let's check off both those New Year's resolutions with one fell swipe by going to myfrontpagestory.com. It's really the most unique, cool gift that I've seen. You go to myfrontpagestory.com, either fill out a quick email or you talk to a writer on the phone, tell them how great your significant other is, your wife, whatever. They write this incredible story. It looks beautiful. It looks like it's on the cover of the Washington Post, framed pictures of you and them, maybe the kids if you have them, probably no kids if you don't. That'd be weird. But then to just say, honey, I want to do something special for you. So I had a story written about you. They start to well up with tears just when you hand it to them. And then when they read the quotes, like, I never thank her enough for all the little things she does. I wouldn't be who I am without her. They cry every time, dude. MyFrontPageStory.com. If you want to have a gift that will move her to tears, it's MyFrontPageStory.com, MyFrontPageStory.com. At a minimum, just go there, throw your email address
in. No, it's cool. You and I have talked about it before. Yeah. What does the headline say about the game that Ross Tucker's working this weekend? What do you got, radio-wise?
I am the Keystone State Kid. On Sunday, I'm in the booth with Ian Eagle for Eagles-Niners, and then I'll drive the entire length of the turnpike, and I'm on the sideline Monday night for Texans-Steelers. So, thankfully for me, I live in the middle in Harrisburg, so I can sleep Sunday night in my own bed, and then drive the rest of the way to Pittsburgh. And I like being on sideline a couple times a year during the playoffs. It's such a cool energy and vibe. And, yeah, so the headline, I don't know, it'd be cool for my friends and family and people here in Central PA if Pennsylvania goes 2-0. I don't think that's going to be the case, but it'd be cool if it was.
You've done a great job all year, college and pro games. Appreciate you making time for us this week. Enjoy it. We'll talk soon.
Sounds great. Thank you, Kev.
Ross Tucker, everybody. When we come back, we will rank the AFC teams. I also may have a smell test pick Wait, were we going to do Stanford Steve or not? Do we have time to do that or not?
27. If we go out now, yeah, we got some time.
All right, let's bring on Stanford Steve. He's headed to the Fiesta Bowl. We'll do that next.
The show is brought to you exclusively by the law firm Condori and Murad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their team today at kmlawyers.com. And be sure to tell them that we sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. We're taking you up to 6:30 on the Fan, and we are pleased right now to go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And welcome onto the show, our good buddy, Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt. Bill is back on the program for one last ride this season after week 18 in that final game, a win over the Philadelphia Eagles. Bill, thanks for the time, man. How are you?
What's going on? Good. How you doing?
We're doing very well. Congrats on the dub, getting to 5-12 at the end of the season. You know, Danny and I, we're sitting here, we're fans, so we were kind of hoping for the draft positioning, but I know you guys work your butts off. You don't care about that, so congrats. Yes, well earned. Well earned.
Appreciate it.
Hey, so we've got to start with the news of the day. You know by now, Cliff Kingsbury, your offensive coordinator, and the team mutually agreed to part ways. What did you make of hearing that news?
I was like, dang. That's all I could say, to be honest. I feel like that's above my pay grade to be like just questioning things. So, you know, I trust it.
Did you have a feeling things were coming down the pike? Like, you're inside the building. Did you expect Cliff to be back? Did you know anything wasn't copacetic, or what did you kind of experience?
Oh, well, I definitely expected him to be back. But I mean, I guess that's just how the business goes, and I'm just learning as we go. How things work.
How did you find out?
I got on Twitter, and that was like one of the first things I seen.
Oh, okay. So you found out like we did. You didn't get a text from Cliff or anything saying, hey, I'm not coming back.
Found out on the internet.
Wow. And have you reached out to him just to wish him luck or anything yet? Or is that something you'll do down the road?
Maybe down the road. Just let everything settle in right now for him.
What was your relationship like with Cliff? And what did you just think of him as a OC and as a play caller?
My relationship, we had a good relationship. We'll see each other, you know, chop it up, talk ball, and I feel like it was always a good relationship since the day I met him. So like we had a pretty solid relationship for sure.
Bill, how was he helpful to you in developing into a pro, and you know some of the skills and things that you worked on as the season progressed?
How was he helpful?
Yes.
Helpful to me?
Yes.
I would say just put me in the best position, like to be the best version of myself.
Ja'Cory,
like he helped me out in that area.
Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt with us on Grant and Danny. It's Bill time on G&D after a Commanders win over the Eagles. News of the day today that Ja'Cory's OC and play caller after the last 2 years here in D.C., Cliff Kingsbury, is leaving the organization. In fact, defensive coordinator Joe Witt, just getting in the car, was fired today as well. So some major changes to the Washington coaching staff. As far as what comes next, what kind of OC would you want to see hired? Like, what are you hoping for as a running back, as a player on this team, in the way of scheme or philosophy moving forward?
Just looking forward to be in space a lot. That's what I see.
I was going to ask, is that something that you were kind of frustrated by maybe at any point, that wasn't happening a lot? That for you as someone that's so shifty and so good with the ball in his hands, I'd love for you to be in space more too. I'd love to see what that looks like. It didn't feel like that happened consistently. Was that a source of frustration at all?
No, I don't really think I caught myself getting frustrated, because I'm just a rookie. Like I'm still learning as we go, and I don't have like really no say so or anything like that. So I'm just going with it and just trusting the plan.
You're a rookie. You're not allowed to be frustrated, I guess.
Right.
Although, but when you say in space, are you talking about how you're used in the run game, like outside the tackles? Are you talking about throwing you the ball on screens? Like, what do you even mean by that?
It could be anything. Yeah, I can want to catch the ball. Definitely want to work on that. Well, not work on it, but definitely want to do that so I could. And just not limit myself, like, to just running the ball in between the tackles or outside. So just getting in space.
What are you planning this offseason as it pertains to, you know, pass blocking, pass catching, like third down stuff to just become more of an all-down back? How will you go about working on that? What kind of either drill work or plan are you going to put together? Have you started thinking about that yet?
Oh, yeah, I already have an off-season plan. And, like, I just got to attack it. And, like, I want to be on the field not only on first and second down, but on passing downs too, on catching downs where you got to catch it out the backfield. And I think we'll start to do more of that, and just add that to be a part of my game.
Bill, you guys get to play a game at the highest level, right? It's something you've always dreamed of, and I'm sure it's amazing day in and day out. But this is the other side of it, right? Where it is a business, and it can be a really, really harsh one at times. What advice and kind of what thoughts did some of the vets share with you about that? Maybe it's the season wasn't going according to plan.
Like, man, this the NFL, bro. Like, everybody that been through a kind of up and down season, and I was like, bro, that's how I go, bro. Like, everything's not going to go your way, and you just gotta stay focused and just trust the process, and just gotta keep coming out there and fighting each game. Because I think who started like 0-3? Someone started 0-3 and like just went on like an 8-game winning streak. So I mean, you just gotta just keep your head down for real.
All right, Bill. Before we let you go, I want to look ahead to the playoffs in the NFC. Obviously, you guys don't get to play all of these teams, but you've got some familiarity. You played some of them. The Packers, the Bears, the Rams, the Panthers, the Niners, the Eagles, among those that are playing this weekend, who's your pick to come out of the NFC? Who do you think has the best chance to make a run for a Super Bowl?
Oh, I would say maybe the Rams.
Ooh, interesting.
I would say maybe the Rams. Who would you say?
I like the Rams, too.
The Rams are good. I think they're going to beat Carolina. I've got them losing after that. I'm going to roll with San Francisco, I think. The winner of that 49ers-Eagles game, I think, goes on a run.
Okay. That's not a bad take at all.
Nobody mentioned Seattle, by the way, Bill. They were pretty good. They were pretty impressive to me. Is that the best team that you guys faced this year, do you think?
The best team I think I faced personally was maybe a healthy Packers defense, maybe.
Yeah, they were unreal. Thursday Night Football in Week 2, they looked different. They ended up almost missing the playoffs, by the way. It's such a funny league.
Yeah, so that's why I said a healthy team.
Yeah.
Those guys, I'll say them and maybe Seattle.
All right, cool. You can be watching, or are you the kind of guy after the end of the season that you kind of get away from football, or are you going to lock in on the playoffs?
I'll tune in here and there. I'll definitely be watching them.
I heard Cousins a big Jags fan. He's got a Trevor Lawrence jersey.
Is that true?
Oh, that's 100% not true.
Oh, really?
100%.
Cousins a Jags mark. He said Liam Cohen can draw it up.
Nah.
Not so much.
He
doesn't mess with the Jags. Do you play Madden at all?
I don't.
Did you ever?
Not really. I never was that good at it, so.
I would start to play if I was in the game. That's just how I view it.
You got
to
use yourself.
You know what I mean? Like, I would give the ball to me.
No, I never, like, since I'm not that good and I just don't play because I hate losing, so it just make me mad.
Well, Bill, it's been fun catching up with you all year, buddy. You should be very proud of yourself, leading rookie running backs and rushing touchdowns, being in the top 5 in yards among rookie backs this season. For a 7th-round pick, pretty incredible. Great starting point for your career. Thanks for hopping on with us and joining us throughout
y'all.
The season.
Thank you, Bill.
Someone say they heard my voice, and I called up to the bank, and I was like, I know your voice from the Grant and Danny radio show. That was pretty cool.
Wait.
They said, hold on, is this Bill?
Wait, they recognize your voice from that?
Yes, that's hilarious.
Yes, I was calling up to the bank, and I was like, hold on, is this Bill?
So you called the bank just to, like, do banking?
I hear you on the radio show.
That's hilarious.
That's great.
They just heard your voice and picked it up from
they
listening
heard
to the
my
show.
Voice,
all right,
said, this Bill.
We got to shout them out. So the banker that talked to Bill and listens to the show, we appreciate you. That's pretty incredible. Good to hear from them. All right, Bill, yeah. Be good.
All right, appreciate y'all.
Yeah, be
thanks,
good, buddy.
Buddy.
What a guy. Jacory Krosky, Bill, on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.